السلام عليكم يا إخواني الفلسطينيين والعرب. شلوم لكل عام إسرائيل. Love and peace to all you people that are listening this evening. I speak to you as a man who feels that his loyalty goes far beyond flag and country. I speak to you as a man who is a member of the family of man. Before I go any further, I must make a small confession. I have no written speech. I'm nervous. Even my hands tremble. What I have in front of me is my pipe, my tobacco, a cup of water, and some antacid pills. I'm sitting now in my studio, in the control room. On the panel is Tony from England. My broadcast engineer from the Philippines. Assisting him is Bill from Holland. On the deck of the ship, the captain, Captain Bonzon from Marseille, with the bosun, Pete from the Philippines. And the first mate from Yugoslavia, Ludwig. And the rest of the crew, I will tell you more about, are all around the ship and at this moment listening to what I have to say. And I feel that what I have to say will be a message also from all aboard the ship. It's a pretty dark night outside. I was on the deck of the ship a few minutes ago, and as we drift somewhere, I began to ask myself, what am I doing here? It's a small ship with 14 people on board, just people. Trying to bring about a change. The kind of change I wish more people had participated. We've done so much in our time. How little time is given to try to bring people together. It was very lonely out there, but then I had to get out of that mood, as I will have to straighten up soon, in a few moments. There are too many people involved in this project, too many people, and that is our strength, for we carry no guns. We threaten nobody, but it's the faith and hope of the people as far out as in Holland, in Canada, in the United States, and I'm sure the hope of people throughout the Arab world, the people in Israel. You who believe that a way must be found, you alone, can give us strength to carry on. For we out here have nothing to gain or to lose but the future. And it can be a beautiful future for all of us. Tonight, I want to tell you what we are trying to do. What is the story of the peace ship? In a way, I'm lost because I just don't know where to begin personally. This has been such a long dream. For 6 years, I've waited and dreamt of this day that I would be able to sit in a studio with a microphone, with no one to rush me, to be able to talk to people on both sides. For 6 years, I rehearsed what I would say. And as the time drew nearer, I knew that eventually this day would come. I knew that it was a dream, and many felt it was an impossible dream, an improbable dream, they called it. It was an impossible dream, but it took a long time to make this dream a reality. 6 years almost to the day. It is a time that is loaded with loneliness, frustration, disappointments, pain. But then I knew that if a dream is a positive dream, and if man is willing to be persistent and to test his strength against all odds, and I know that man is. Today I even feel that many of you who are listening, maybe many of you might have done even a better job. To take 4 years to realize a dream that really could have taken less than 6 months. I was in Cyprus 6 years ago. I had flown there from London with a small plane, which I had just purchased. It was an old single engine plane that once belonged to the King of Jordan. And I purchased it from a flying club. And while the world was talking about the war, while generals were planning and forecasting the outcome of the war on the television stations in Rome, in London, in Paris, we couldn't hear any voice of reason anywhere. And I thought that I should fly in this plane and maybe fly right across, just as a small single voice, to warn the people of the disasters of war, to try to calm the passions and the tempers. But here I was in Cyprus, and I started to listen to the radio broadcast in the Arab world, the radio broadcast in Israel. On one side, there were shouts of war, as we all very well remember. On the other side, the same message was put on the air to keep the people alert. And I searched throughout the dial for some voice of reason, but none were to be found. I searched across the dial for some kind of music other than the march song, but there was none to be found. And it was then that I began to dream of such a voice. I knew that I could not set up such a voice in Israel or the Arab countries or anywhere in the Mediterranean, since all the broadcasting stations are controlled and owned by the government. And it was then from Cyprus that I looked to the sea and saw a ship. And here I am. But it took 6 years, not only of dreaming, but 6 long years of waiting. There was no time to talk about peace those few days before the war. And as was forecasted, it was the people that paid the price. It was the people that fell. And the wounds were everywhere, for there was really no victor. And there can never be a victor. For I knew it when I visited the wounded in the Israeli and Arab hospitals. And I kept asking, why? Will the time ever come when man will try to understand that with all his reason, with all his knowledge, to know that for centuries war has never solved any problem? Surely we have not lost our reason. Will the time ever come that reason will prevail over guns? Of we believe it will. No matter how long it takes, we will stay out here every day, every night, and we will try to create such a climate. Well, I wanted to make sure that there was a chance for such a project to succeed. Living in Israel, talking to people, I knew there was a desire among the people. The people were tired of all these years of concern, living either in fear or suspicion or under threat. But before I would do anything, I thought it was important for me to fly to Cairo. And only 2 years later, from Paris, I just took a commercial plane and flew to Cairo. I landed in Cairo with a British passport. I was cleared through customs. I sent cables to the then Minister of Information that I was arriving. But I guess he did not believe that I was coming. I cleared through the customs and I walked right out of the airport into a taxi, and the only address I knew was the Hilton Hotel. I went to Cairo because I felt it is important for me to find a way to talk to people in the heart of the capital of the Arab world, that maybe we have a chance. For before going to Cairo, I had felt, only from the communication that I had received throughout the world about the mood of the people of the Arab world, that here were Arabs ready with knives drawn just to kill. I found a different mood. It was a mood of frustration, but there was a genuine desire for peace among the people. Unfortunately, when I went back to the Hilton Hotel and picked up one of the magazines, it was sad to find so many pictures that spoke only of war. As we have so many magazines throughout the Middle East, the talk of the glamour of men in uniform, of tanks and planes, be they Phantom jets or be they Russian MiG fighters. After 24 hours, when I left Cairo, I decided that maybe there was a chance to do something with such a station. I flew to Holland. I knew that in Holland, people had been receptive to my plea in the past, when I was involved in trying to keep the people of Eastern Nigeria alive, when I asked them to supply me with planes and I flew the food in, when I asked them to supply me a ship to carry enough food for 1 million starving people. Within weeks, the ship was delivered, and a few weeks later, it was filled with food and taken to Eastern Nigeria. Now I came to the Dutch people and I said, give me a ship. I will take the ship to the United States, convert it into a powerful radio station, and then sail to the Mediterranean. This was on the 5th of June, 1969. I felt it was a good day to launch a peace project. Within 6 weeks, more than 10,000 people in Holland sent in dollars and dimes. The press were unanimous in their support. The television coverage was generous. I remember after the first 2 weeks, when we had stopped getting money, a television commentator came up to me and said, "Amy, would you like to go on again?" Midst of the interview, he stopped me and he says, "I'm going to give you 3 minutes. You tell the Dutch people whatever you like." I don't know what I said to them, but after 48 hours, more than $50,000 came in small donations by thousands of people across Holland. And soon, I knew that the peace ship was on its way. And we sailed to New York. I knew that in New York, where I had campaigned so often, and I knew that the money that I needed to convert the ship was less than 5% of the cost of one fighter plane. Less than 5% of one fighter plane, whether it's a Russian MiG or a Phantom jet. And I was sure that within a few weeks, this money would be realized and the ship would be on its way. I was so sure that I put a full-page ad in the New York Times and I announced to the people that in 3 months, which was on the 15th of November, we would sail to the Middle East. Fortunately, I didn't put the year, because on the 15th of November, I realized that the amount I invested on that ad, I lost on it. We got $1,500 less than the cost of the ad. And that's where all the problems started. But I knew then this was not going to be an easy job. I knew then that I would just have to have the strength of my conviction to carry on. But never did I realize the punishment I would have to take. Never. Maybe to give me a strength to carry on with this program, I would like to put another record, a record by Joan Baez. Imagine.